on this Thanksgiving week, I'm speaking about the idea of one of those compound words that make up Thanksgiving. Say Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Say a nice smile. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Have you ever thought about that? Right? That really it's a compound word that is made up thanks. Say thanks.
Thanks.
And say giving.
Giving.
Thanksgiving. And this Thanksgiving might be a little bit different for some of us. But can I tell you, the Lord's the Lord of all of our lives, right?
Amen.
I believe that. And I want to take 2 weeks, this Sunday, two Sundays, I should say. I'd like to take 2 Sundays, and I'd like to do a two-part series, giving thanks. And I'd like to take those two words that make up Thanksgiving. I'd like to talk about giving today and thanks next Sunday. Are you with me? Say amen. I would like to look back, if I can, for just a moment, of all the women that have made Brighton Assembly of God a great church. I look back at 28 years, and I think of the ladies that have impacted Brighton Assembly, starting with my wife. She cleaned bathrooms, and she cleaned the church when we were renting. She assigned me the bathrooms to clean when we were dating. But she said, I love you, Brad, but you're doing the bathrooms, and then I'll do the rest of the, or a great part of the rest of the church. When we were renting a Christian high school of 50 high school students, at the end of the week, can I tell you, those bathrooms and the whole church needed cleaning. But I'm grateful. Rhonda, I say thanks. I thank the Lord for her mother, that Harold and Mary came out and joined the church after the first year. And just blessed us. I think of Vi Rawlings. We didn't have a piano player. The first Sunday I came in, there was about 10 or 12 people there. And the piano player said, you know what, I'm giving you 3 weeks and I'm all done. I said, it's great to be here. She left, and I called a lady by the name of Vi Rawlings. And she made an amazing impact upon our church. And I look out across the sanctuary today, and I don't dare mention names because I'll leave somebody out, but you're special to us, ladies. I thank you for the impact that you've made, and we're going to talk about an amazing woman this morning. I love the story about, there was a church prayer meeting, and people were invited to share a testimony, and how they were to tell how God had worked greatly in their lives. And one man stood up and he told his story. He said, years ago, I was facing hard times and I had lost my job. My wife had left me. I was out on the street, nowhere to live. And I walked into the church and got on my knees and begged God to help me. He said, I only had $1 in my wallet. It was my last dollar, but I took that dollar and I gave it to the Lord in an offering. And so I walked out of the church absolutely penniless. I gave it all. Outside the church, I happened to meet an old-time friend who offered me a job on the spot. And I took it and became successful. And now I'm a multimillionaire, all because I gave all I had to the Lord that night. When he sat down, the congregation was stone cold silent. And then a godly, wise woman stood up and said, you know what, brother? I dare you to do it again tonight. I love that. Today, we're going to honor a woman that we still study today. We don't know her name. She's a widow. And she made a huge offering when she gave less than 2 pennies. And I want to challenge you to open up your heart and your mind. Sometimes when people watch online or they watch in person and somebody says, the pastor says or the evangelist says, we're going to talk about giving, they tune out. Can I tell you, don't do that today. In fact, if you're watching, would you share? It might impact kids down the road. But I want to speak to you about this idea of living sacrificially for the glory of God. And the Bible is full. I mean, think about it. The Bible is full of people who honored the Lord by giving sacrificially to the Lord. And today, we're going to meet one of them. Stand with me for the reading of the Word, would you? If you're watching online and you can stand, would you stand and we'll honor God's Word. And we're reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and I just want to read four verses of Scripture, beginning at verse 41. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Say large amounts.
Large amounts.
Say it nice and loud. Large amounts. But a poor widow, I want you to get that. You know what? I've never seen that before. I knew she was a widow, but I've never seen that descriptive term. Jesus calls her poor widow. Say poor widow.
Poor widow.
But a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. This story goes. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. What an amazing lady. I can't wait to get to heaven, Jeff Bernhard. Jen, I can't wait to get to heaven to meet this woman that we don't know her name, but we still study her story today. Let's pray. Lord, would you add your anointing to the word today? People didn't come to hear me, Lord. They came to hear a word from you. They're not watching online to hear or see any kind of entertainment. They need a word from your throne. And on this one day to feed the world Sunday, Lord, I pray that your word would come alive. As we move towards Thanksgiving, touch our hearts, Lord. We want to be changed by the power of the word. And so many people of this church, Lord, they do give tithes and offerings and missions and, Lord, giving. And, Lord, they give sacrificially. Would you do a fresh work even in their lives, renewing that commitment? And if there's people online or in person, Lord, that you need to touch by this word, I pray that it would speak to their heart and their life. And if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love, Lord. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful and awesome name. And all God's people would say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This story is often called the widow's mite. The story of the widow's mite. You say, why is it? Because the amount of money that she gave, the Bible says, was called a mite in the King James Version. That's why the title this morning, Mighty, not spelled M-I-G-H-T, but Mighty, M-I-T-E. Why? Mighty, because she gave a mite according to the King James. And I'm not even sure exactly what a mite was, but I believe it was a mighty gift. And in this simple day message today on One Day to Feed the World, I'd like you to consider how wonderful and how this unnamed widow gives us lessons that you and I can apply to generosity in our lives. I want you to look at five facts and five lessons about this woman. First off, I want you to understand, Jesus takes note when we give. Jesus takes note when you and I give. Look what it says there again, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. In that day, there would be boxes, kind of like we have as you exit, but they would be in prominent places, a wooden box, and people would come up and give their gift in the temple courts, if you will. Of all the places Jesus could have been sitting, he stationed himself across from the offering boxes so that he could watch the people as they were giving their money. And it wasn't a casual observance that he was kind of like you and I might at an airport. We just watch people. The Greek language literally says Jesus was studying intently or looking very observantly at the people. You see a picture of a man on the screen. And his name is John Brodus. If you've been in Christian circles for any length of time, you've heard of this publisher called Broadman Publishing. They publish hymnals and the like. And the Broadman name is made up of two particular names. The man for Broadman, was a man by the name of Basil Manley. He was a great seminary president in the South years ago. The Broad stood for John Broadus, this man. He was an amazing pastor in Charlottesville, Virginia for a number of years. And one Sunday, Dr. Broadus, the man you see on the screen, he did an unusual thing. During the offering, as the ushers walked up the aisle, passing the offering plate, Dr. Broadus walked with them and looked down every pew as people were giving. He wanted to see what they were putting into the offering plate. How would you have reacted if I would have taken an offering today and walked down the aisle, looked, checking you out? Fred, got any more in there? I can tell you that the people, Broadus said, that they were agitated and irritated that he was taking this action. Then after the offering was taken, he stood behind the pulpit and said, quote, "My people, if you take to heart that I've seen your offerings this day and know just what sacrifices you've made and what sacrifices you have not made, remember that the Son of God, your Savior, goes about the aisles with every usher and sees with his sleepless eye every cent put into the collection by his people." And you thought I was bold. And then Broadus went on and preached on the widow's mite and spoke how Jesus watches when we give an offering. Besides, you know what? I didn't walk down the aisles we're giving as people exit, but we've got too many aisles, so you don't ever have to worry I'm going to take on that attribute. But the truth is, right, hear me, Jesus is still interested in our offerings. He still is watching. And later this morning, I'm going to appeal to you to give a love offering to Jesus by giving to One Day to Feed the World. And I won't see what you give, but Jesus will be paying attention. Jesus takes note when you and I give. Now, if that was just it, we would say, well, okay. But secondly, you need to understand this. Jesus not only takes note when we give, but Jesus takes note how we give. It says there in verse 41 and verse 42, many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. The two verbs there describe the threw in versus put in, describe how the people came, and it's an important nuance within the passage because Jesus wasn't the only spectator that was involved in the process of giving on that day. People watched others give, and because they did, it gave rich people the opportunity to show off their gifts. And this time, the only kinds of currency, they didn't have dollar bills like we do today. The only currency was coins. They were giving their coins. And some rich people made a great deal to show how they were giving of their money. When they walked up to the box, they threw in the money and they made it sound really loud when they were putting the money in. Now, can I tell you? I've wrestled with even illustrating this in my personal life. But I'm going to be transparent, okay? And if you think less of me, you know what? You need to pray for me. But sometimes when I go to get a Starbucks for Rhonda or myself, I'm not a coffee drinker. I get one of their refreshers. And I'll get Rhonda one. And they have the change dish sitting out there. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Can I just tell you, I don't want them, the person behind the counter, ever thinking that I'm stiffing them. I believe in tipping. And so can I, I'm just being honest, you know, a lot of times I'll wait, are they looking so they know I didn't stiff them? Anybody else relate? Thanks for, you know what, I feel better that all those hands just went up. Thank you. And if I have my change out, and I think about it at the last second. And God is my witness. I do not like taking something that I haven't tipped for even there. Okay? So if I thought about it last second, but they have their back turned to me, you know what? I'll throw it down harder in the box. I told you. You know what? I was being transparent. This is a true story. But that was the same thing those guys were doing in that passage. They were coming up to the box, these rich people, and if there was a hard plunk into the box, you know what? They were in essence saying, look at me. And there was plenty of oohing and aahing taking place from the other spectators. Wow, look at that gift. The word says there, they threw in. I'd never seen that before when I preached from this passage, and I have a couple of times over 28 years. They threw it in. But the word says she didn't throw in her coins. I've got two pennies in here today. The Bible says that she brought those two coins and she placed them into the box. The coins were leptis. Look down at the bottom of your Bible there in Mark's Gospel chapter 12. You'll see a footnote for verse 42. A lepta was just these thin little coins, two little coins so small that they barely would have made any noise to start with. But I want you to hear me, Brighton. When she gave those two little leptas, the sound reverberated to the heart of God Almighty. Nobody else heard it, but Jesus did, the Lord did. And it's important for us to realize Jesus not only watches us when we give, but he watches how much we give. He also pays attention to how we give. He sees our motive. When we make an offering to God, it's not a time to show off. Offering shouldn't be a spectator event. Jesus taught that when we worship by giving, it's not a time to show off. He says this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, right in the heart or the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. Look what he says. So when you give to the needy, when you give to one day to feed the world, right? When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I'll tell you the truth. They've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Look up here a second, will you? God not only sees the amount, but he also knows the attitude. He knows the attitude of your heart. And that's why the Bible says, the word tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, that each of you should give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Say the word cheerful. Cheerful. Say it nice about cheerful. Cheerful. The word there, you've heard it in the Greek language, so hilarious. It's where we get the English word hilarious. He loves it when you giggle when you give. Lord, thanks for just the opportunity to be able to give to your kingdom. How many of you know it is more blessed to give than it is to receive? Even the littlest things. I'm getting a smoothie up at Tropical Cafe yesterday. It was tooling out my message in my mind, wondering, should I tell them and be transparent about Starbucks? And so I take a break, and I go up to Tropical Smoothie Cafe, And they've had these coupons. You know, a normal smoothie is about $7, $7.50, but they're really good. And I get in line, and I've got two coupons, one for each of them, $3.99, and normally $7.50 or whatever. And I use mine, and turn around, and there's a guy probably about my age standing in line. And I just hand him the extra coupon. Would have thought I gave that guy a bag of gold. He's like, man, thanks. Can I tell you, it blessed me. It is a blessing to be able to give, isn't it? Amen. I mean, really, you and I, the privilege to be able to give in life. I mean, it is fun to receive. We all love to receive gifts. But the fact of the matter is, the attitude that we give with, Lord, we thank you that we have the privilege to come to your house and give to your kingdom. Lord, thank you for the privilege. Amen. Hilarious giving. Chuckling when we give. Lord, thank you. Can I tell you? The kingdom works completely opposite to the world. Wouldn't you agree? True. Can I tell you, I have to pay as a minister, Ron, and I do as ministers, pay quarterly tax. You estimate through the year because technically we're called self-employed. Okay, so we pay our tax. Can I tell you, the IRS, they don't care what attitude I give from with my heart to them. Really. They just expect me to pay my taxes. I mean, they don't care if I'm giving grudgingly or willingly, joyfully or angrily. They just want Brad and Rhonda to pay up. Right? But God, to God, the attitude of your heart when you give is even important, and it's more important than the gift itself. That woman will see, she gave it all, and the Lord says, you know what, I'm pleased with this. She gave more than the guys over here that, man, they were making a large sound. Jesus takes note when we give. He knows how we give. Thirdly, Jesus notices the cost of our gift. Look at verses 42 and 43. Worth only a fraction of a penny, speaking of the two lepers. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, hey, guys, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. When Jesus told his disciples she gave more than all the others, what was he doing? Jesus was making a comparative measurement. Using the standards, the value of those two lepers, you wonder what they are? The theologians, scholars believe that those two lepers was about worth, in our money, about 1/16th of a cent of one penny. So 16 of the 32 of those lepers to be able to make a penny. And no doubt some of those rich people were giving large amounts, the equivalent of 1,000 or multiple thousands of dollars. So for comparison purposes, let's do this. Let's imagine there's a wealthy Jewish man in the temple that day, and we'll just call him Daddy Warbucks, all right? And he tosses in a gift. I mean, it's a lot of change. He tosses it in, and it's worth $10,000. And that's, this is kind of fuzzy math, but this is the bottom line. According to Jesus, those two lepers that the woman put in are worth more than the $10,000 Daddy Warbucks put in. Now, you can say, boy, that is fuzzy math. That'll drive CPAs crazy, Brad. But how could he make a statement like that? Simple. Jesus not only measures the size of our gift, hear me, Bright, he also measures how much we have left over after we give. The poor widow only had two lepers. And when she gave, she didn't have anything left over. Daddy Warbucks gave $10,000 or thereabouts, and yet after he gave, he still had thousands left over. A few years ago, Microsoft founder Bill and his wife Melinda Gates, they received a lot of publicity. I have no problem with it. And they received a lot of publicity for giving $100 million to fight AIDS in India and in Africa. And that's a great gift for a great cause. Hear me. But he still has billions left over. It may be when a widow on her Social Security check makes a sacrificial gift to a need of $1,000 to the Lord's work, God considers that $1,000 gift bigger than Bill Gates' $100 million gift. That's just how it all boils down. How much we have left over. That's the true value of our gift. Fourthly, Jesus notices the sacrifice in our gift. Verses 43 and 44, look at it. I tell you the truth, they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything. Whenever Jesus, hear me, I want to teach you something really quick. How many of you want to learn from the Bible today? All right? And you might already know this, but it'll... Repetition's the mother of learning anyway, right? Brother Todd printed that on Facebook. He said, Brad Trask says this. He put that on Facebook this past week. And I said, man, Todd, you bless me. You're listening. I like that. And I'm going to teach you something else. In the King James, whenever you see verily, verily, say verily, verily. Say nice and loud, right? Verily, verily. How's it translated in the NIV? Not verily, verily. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Say, I tell you the truth.
I tell you the truth.
Nice and loud. I tell you the truth.
I tell you the truth.
He says, whenever you see reading the King James, verily, verily, Jeff, or I tell you the truth, Jim, he's saying, pay attention. Put up your spiritual antennae because I'm about to share a profound truth with you. And the profound principle that Jesus taught was there's a huge difference between a donation and a sacrifice. That'll preach. That day, the wealthy people were making donations, and the widow made a sacrifice. And a real sacrifice always grabs God's attention. She gave out of her poverty. She couldn't afford it, but she gave out of her poverty. The wealthy gave out of their wealth. They could afford it. It's an amazing story. I read it and reviewed it even this morning when I came over to the church. And there's a story in the Old Testament that gives us the definition of sacrifice. In the passage, if you're taking notes, jot it down, 2 Samuel chapter 24. And there was a deadly plague that was killing many of the Israelites. And a prophet by the name of Gad comes to King David and he tells him, go offer a sacrifice at an altar on Arunah's property. So King David goes to this place looking to offer a burnt offering as a sacrifice and beg for God's mercy upon the Israelite people on this farmer Arunah's property. And he wants to ask Arunah, sell me your threshing floor, your where you separate the wheat from the chaff, where the threshing floor is, sell me that piece of property, would you please, so I can make an altar. And what does Arunah do? He does what most of us would do, wouldn't we? You know what, if the king comes and asks for something today, if we can afford to do it, Arunah does what we would do. And he says, you know what? You don't have to pay me a thing, David. Are you kidding me? You want my threshing floor? Are you serious? You can have it. But David made an important observation about the importance of sacrifice. What did he do? Look and listen what he said in 2 Samuel 24, 24. Look at it. But King David replied to Arunah, no, I insist on paying you for it. Look at it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. If we make an offering to God that doesn't really cost us, there's not much value to it. We've all made donations. I've made donations. I get it, to God. But I wonder how many of us truly made a sacrifice. A sacrifice, Brighton, is when you and I, we give something up for the sake of somebody else. I walked in this morning with this baseball bat. I tapped Todd on the backside because he loves baseball and softball. And I walked over and set it down next to the chair. And Mike Krause said, Pastor, man, the crowd, are you expecting it to be that tough today? And he said, I'll cover for you. You don't need the bat. Thank you, Michael. But in baseball, if there's a runner on third base, and there's less than two out, when the batter hits the ball, he can make or she can make a sacrifice fly. It goes out to the outfield, and the runner can tag up on third, and sacrifice the fly can bring in an RBI, a run batted in, if you will. But there's another way to sacrifice. And if the ball team wants to get, Christian Spensley, thank you for your bat today. If the team wants to get a runner in scoring position, second or third base, a batter will bunt, give a sacrifice bunt. He'll stick his bat out or hit her bat out, and they'll bunt it, and so to get the runner over, if you will. They give up themselves. They know they're probably not going to make it safely to first base, but they'll give themselves up to get somebody else over where they belong. You with me? Can you imagine? You know what? The third base coach gets the sign from the manager in the dugout. Hey, tell that guy to sacrifice, get the runner over. And so the third base coach, I always wondered what they were saying there. You know, I really did. You know, I just played at a level of baseball, like, hey, if you can hit the ball, that'd be great. But, you know, they're tapping and touching their nose and pulling on their ears and, you know, all this stuff. And can you imagine if the third base coach, he sends in the signal, bunt the man over. The batter stands outside the batter's box getting the code. Hey, bro, no way. I'm not bunting him over. I'm in this for me. I'm going for the long one, baby. I'm not, you know what? He wouldn't be on that team very long at all. Okay? And you and I, the key in life is to live sacrificially.
Amen.
Help people beyond ourselves. And the fact of the matter is, I would submit to you, in some way, shape, or form, those of you that are watching online or in person today, our Father is signaling us, you know what? Help some foster kids. Bless them, even if you have to sacrifice. Hey, give one day to feed the world, because you know what? I'll reward you in this life and in the life to come. I don't know if you're excited, but that'll preach. It's hard. If you say amen, you know what? It at least projects. It's like throwing coins in the Starbucks container. It makes it sound like you're a giver. So say amen. Jesus takes note when we give. Jesus takes note how we give. Jesus notices the cost of our gift. Jesus notices the sacrifice in our gift. And lastly, Jesus notices the trust with our gift. I think another reason Jesus got excited about this widow's gift is because he recognized, right, it was an act of supreme faith. It says there in verse 44, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. I want to ask you a question. Why do you think the Bible made note, Mark's gospel makes note that she had two coins? Can I tell you what I think? I think it's because we're supposed to think the logical thing for this woman to do is to put one coin in, and that would really be amazing giving, and then she's to keep one key coin for her own needs. Because there were two coins, that option was possible for the woman. Everybody with me, say amen. But she puts both in the offering. By doing this, what she's saying, God, I'm trusting in you. I believe you can do more for me than this coin or these coins. And this story, primarily, Brighton, if you think it's about fundraising for one day to feed the world, you're wrong. It's not about for foster care, Heart's Cry. The message today is not about fundraising. It's about faith raising. I'm confident God's going to supply my needs that we have for this church. I believe that God's more interested, hear me, than you or any offering. I believe it. He's asking us to build our trust in him when we give sacrificially in these different realms in our lives. God's constantly trying to teach us to trust him rather than rely on my resources or your resources.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We quoted about faith for healing, and you can. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And yes, we rejoice in the fact that, you know what? Lord, we're believing for healing. We're believing for reconciliation. We're believing for the salvation of our homes and kids to come back. Yes, we can claim that. But how about living by faith to say, Lord, I trust you with my resources. Jesus recognized this widow was not giving to the temple. She was giving to God. She was placing her trust in God. She's in essence saying, hey, can a poker term, I'm all in, Lord. If it doesn't happen, you know what? I'm in trouble because, Lord, I'm relying totally on you. Can I say to somebody today, the safest place for you to be is out on a limb all by yourself with Jesus.
Amen.
He will provide your every need according to his riches and glory. Can't you see her? She walks out after putting in just those two little thin leptas. She says, Lord, I'm trusting you. The Bible doesn't tell us what happens next. This is the beauty about making it to heaven. Because I can't wait to hear the rest of her story in glory someday. But I can assure you, hear me, on the authority of the Word of God, she didn't starve to death. She didn't become a beggar. When you cast yourself upon the Lord, he has promised to take care of your needs. He didn't promise us luxuries, but he promised we'll always have plenty to eat, clothes to wear, and a roof over our heads. David, we quote it, Psalm 37, 25, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Are you thinking? That was you watching online, in person? You think, Pastor, you don't know my circumstances. If you did, you wouldn't be asking me to make a sacrifice. You're right. I don't know your circumstances, but God knows your circumstances. Jesus spoke to those disciples about this woman, and here's what he did. And again, I said, I never saw that. He called her a poor widow. How did he know that? Was she just wearing a tag? Hey, I'm the poor widow at the church today. No, he knew. He knew. He knew. He knows you today. He knows your circumstances. He knew everything about that widow. He knows everything about us. And he knew how much she had left over, that she gave it all. And he didn't stop her and tell her, hey, you know what? Hey, go back and grab one of those coins or grab both of them. I saw your heart. You know what? Instead, he applauded her faith. Great job. You see, Jesus knew what real sacrifice was because 72 hours later, he was going to give the ultimate sacrifice, his body and life for our salvation. And so the fact of the matter is, he took care of her. I promise you that. You see on the screen, and Pastor Brad and the team come back. And thanks for letting me share my heart for one day to feed the world and Heart's Cry Foster Care today and challenge you. And let me reassure you, those of you watching online, those of you in person, I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else. My flesh likes nice things. My flesh wants to make sure the margins are safe in life. And Rhonda can tell you, I wrestle with that. But can I tell you, the Word got a hold of my heart this past week. And Rhonda and I don't want to mention a percentage, but we give to our tithes and our offerings the first dime of every dollar. Then we give, another gift to missions. And I want to be a cheerful giver. I just want to say, Lord, I just can't wait to see what you do for us. And you see this little girl, the painting on the screen, and her name is Hattie Mae Wyatt. She was a poor little girl at the turn of the last century, the 1900s, who lived in Philadelphia. And she lived near a church called Grace Church, right in the bowels of Philadelphia. I've been there. I lived just outside of Philly for 2 years. But they didn't have enough room for Hattie Mae to attend Sunday school. The church was crowded, and so they had to turn her away. And Pastor Russell Conwell, the pastor in that day, told her that one day, you know what, Hattie Mae, I hope that we have enough money to build a larger church building. 2 years later, unexpectedly, Hattie Mae Wyatt died at the age of 8. Before her funeral, her mother gave to Pastor Conwell a bag containing 57 pennies Hattie Mae had been saving to make a contribution to a new building. On December 1st, 1912, Dr. Conwell shared with his congregation Hattie's pennies. And then he sold each one of those 57 pennies, which generated several hundred dollars. And with that money, they bought a house and allowed the church to expand. Meanwhile, out of those 57 people that bought one of those pennies, 54 of them returned their pennies to Pastor Conwell. And he challenged the church to begin to raise money for a new building. And a group was founded in that church called Wyatt's, not the Widows, Wyatt's Mite Society instead of the Widows Mite Society. And there was a newspaper article about Hattie Mae Wyatt and her pennies. And a realtor from Philadelphia offered to sell to the church a large piece of property with a down payment of, you guessed it, 54 cents. And very generous terms to go with it. And the rest is history. The church was able to build a 3,000-seat sanctuary called the Temple. In addition to the church building a new sanctuary, they established a college that is called Temple University today, the Owens. And there's a large hospital associated with the school called the Good Samaritan Hospital, all because a little girl was willing to give 57 cents for a new baby. You may not think that you have much to give to feed kids. You may not think that you've got a lot to give just for a small gift for a foster care child. Can I just remind you? Would you just think of Hattie Mae Wyatt? Would you think of that unnamed widow? God doesn't want our money. He wants us. And he loves you so much that Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for your sin. Gave himself up so that you could make it to heaven. And how do you respond to that kind of love? I would submit to you the proper response is, say, Lord, you've got it all. You've got me. You've got my heart. I surrender back to you. That's the only way to live. Would you stand with me? I want to talk to you just about one day in the foster care ministry in just a moment. But I would like to ask you to just cross the airwaves, if you're watching online, or if you're in the house today, would you just bow your heads with me today? If you're watching online, would you just make an altar in your heart? And if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, can I just tell you, all you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Believe on Jesus, he is the Son of the living God. And confess him as the Lord and Savior of your life. ABC, admit you're a sinner, believe on Jesus, confess him as Lord. In just a moment, just hit the next steps button there on the screen, and we'll lead you the steps that you take to walk closer to Jesus, to surrender your life sacrificially, giving it back to him so he can make something that he's intended for you to be for his glory. If you're in the house today, Father's house, the greatest gift you can give is not money, friend. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The greatest gift that you can give is giving yourself, your life to him. There's somebody here today that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, or you're a backslider. You need to rededicate your life to him. If there's somebody here today who want to surrender to Jesus, just slip up your hand and say, Lord, I want to give myself up so that I can live for you and live for your cause. If that's you today, I want to believe on Jesus, confess him as Lord, and admit I'm a sinner. If that's you, just lift up your hand. Would you do that right now? Just catch eyes with me and say, Brad, would you pray for me across this sanctuary? I want to just ask you, in closing, we're going to sing this song that's become a favorite of the church, Waymaker. Pastor Killian's going to pray. Then Rhonda's going to come and close us in prayer and put a benediction on the service today. And she's going to lead in prayer for our lives, that these kids, 304,000 children around the world that are fed by One Day to Feed the World, that we never will see this side of eternity, but the Lord will use it as a ministry tool to feed their tummies so we can tell them Jesus loves them. She's going to pray for that day, December 12th, when those foster care kids roll up with their parents and there's somebody with a smiling face that Holly's prepared the tags for, bless you, Hal. That they just say, you know what? Somebody cares for me. Jesus must really love me. And so, unabashedly, my dad taught me in ministry, Brad, if you're embarrassed to ask for a ministry, you're embarrassed at your ministry. And I'm not embarrassed in my ministry. Every nickel that's given to One Day to Feed the World, you can ask Kathy Giacino, another woman that has impacted our church. We don't take a nickel out for One Day to Feed the World. We don't take a nickel for Heart's Cry, for administrative costs. But if you would, those of you watching online, those of you in person, four ways to give. There's a way to give on the texting or on the app for One Day to Feed the World, for Heart's Cry. You can send us in an offering. We won't mail this in until later on this month or early next month. We'll close out the year for One Day to Feed the World. You can send in an offering. Give on the church website. I speak God's blessing over you, and I thank you for giving, not in any way, shape, or form a donation, but I thank you by faith that the Lord will allow us to give sacrificially for the cause of Jesus Christ to display his name.